Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q Overtime Special with my main man, Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com. Vaughn, what you doing, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been doing good, man. I'm working hard and trying to keep warm up here in Philadelphia.
Trying to keep warm in Philadelphia. We have an ice storm going on right now here in St. Louis.
We're about to get one or something of that sort tomorrow up here in Philly. It's been a bad winter up here.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be worse than it is, but it's not that bad here in St. Louis. Like, we thought we were going to get, like, you know, 5 or 6 inches of snow on top of the inch and a half to 2 inches of ice, and, like, it never turned out. It was, like, 3/4 of an inch of ice, and then mostly ice pellets. And then on top of that, a little bit of, you know, just drift snow. Maybe, like, an inch and a half to 2 inches of drift snow, if that. Real light, fluffy stuff. So, hey, thank you so much for joining me today here on the show. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you inviting me on.
And I wanted to talk a little pro wrestling with you, man. You know, we don't get a chance to talk too much pro wrestling. Well, we talk pro wrestling on the queue itself directly all the time. But every once in a while, I like to do these overtime specials where, like, I, like, pick a certain topic and I talk to someone individually and just kind of, like, rail with them on what's going on in not only their lives, but in the topic that I have chosen. And this week, I've decided to just jump in with you, Vaughn Johnson from Philly.com, and talk to you about professional wrestling. Yay for everybody. And let's get into this, because we haven't seen the actual guy whose theme song that used to be that started the show. We haven't seen that guy, CM Punk, in quite some time. And what are your thoughts at this point with the CM Punk situation?
It's an odd situation, a situation that you haven't seen a lot in this day and age of wrestling, because there isn't a bunch of places to go work for the wrestlers anymore. They can't just say, you know, forget it, I'm out of here, and go home. But it's sort of a wait and see type of thing. I mean, nobody really knows anything. A lot of it is speculation. You know, we really don't even know for certain why he actually walked out. Is he just burnt out? Was he not happy with the creative? Is he hurt? And then how long is he going to stay out? So it's a lot of questions surrounding this, and it's an odd circumstance for WWE and for CM Punk, quite frankly, because he's, you know, it's a big money time for wrestlers, you know, it's WrestleMania time, and he was sure, even though he probably wasn't going to be in the main event, but he's going to be in a main match.
Yeah, he was going to be in, like, a co-main event, somewhere in the realm of being one of the bigger draws for the show itself. I get it.
Right.
You know, and here's what's really funny to me on that whole situation is the fact that it's being reported, potentially, that when they get to Chicago for a Raw that's coming up, that he's going to be there.
I mean, it could happen.
That's the mind. And I posted online, I was like, you know, if he wanted to really, you know, get the people good, like, if it was legit, like, let's say it was a legit situation, okay? It might be, like we said, we're speculating. It might be. It would be almost behoove him to, like, do the old school Scott Hall move and buy a ticket and sit in the seats. Sit in the stands. Because you know for a fact that if he was there with the Chicago crowd behind him as much as they love him, they would just keep pointing him out to the point where they would have to turn their cameras on him at some point.
Well, yeah,
they'd have no choice. They'd have to.
At a certain point, that you if he somehow gets a ticket into the arena, which I don't know how WWE would, I don't know, that would be weird to me that a wrestler who's under contract would, you know, voluntarily sit in the stands.
But is he under contract? What if he's not under contract?
Well, his contract was reportedly supposed to expire on, I believe, June or July. I can't remember.
Technically, he is under contract, but the whole story is that he walked out, therefore nullifying the contract. Because he is not holding up his end of the contractual agreement.
Well, and, yeah, but if he decided to walk back, if he decided to come back tomorrow or in Chicago, you know, that contract is still valid. He is, I don't know that, you know, I'm not a lawyer not by any stretch, but I don't believe he's in breach just yet, but he may be. So I don't know. It's, like I said, it's an odd situation. But I definitely see a situation where it started out as a shoot, as they say, and makes his way into a work. For him to come back and he's like sitting in the stand, something like that, and some big circumstance happens. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm just waiting and seeing. I don't like to speculate on such things. I mean, at least what's going to happen in the future, at least.
Oh, and that's good. And that's a good thing, too. Also, we recently had ourselves a well, there's been two big stories, I think, over the last few weeks in wrestling since the CM Punk thing. One is that the return of Hulk Hogan to the WWE to host WrestleMania, which I think is a nice coup for that company to bring him back, especially when, you know, like everybody knows that like anniversaries are always the biggest when they fall on the number, like 5 year, 10 year, 20 year, 25. You know what I'm saying? Like 30's a big number. 30 years ago, that man put that that company on his back for one night, and it turned into a juggernaut.
And Hogan wasn't there for 10, 20, or, you know, 10 or 20. It's just odd. It's a circumstance that Hogan just so happened to not be there for neither one of those shows.
Yeah, he wasn't there at 25 either, was he? I don't think he was there at 25, was he?
No, not 25 neither. You're right. So,
which, that's a really big one. I mean, that's a silver anniversary, the 25th anniversary of something. That's always something people talk about. I'm kind of happy to see Hogan back. I think, though, that they misused him and they introduced him in the wrong way, personally.
I can see your point where he just pretty much just promoted the network. And
that's
he didn't
all
really,
he did.
You know,
yeah, that's it,
really,
man.
Go, you know, Hulk up. Not only Hulk up anybody, but like give a Hulk Hogan promo.
I mean, this guy was spinning around using his ears towards the Titantron. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only three sides that are technically covered with people. I mean, yes, there are people on that side, sort of. You know what I'm saying? But literally, you're just earing out the Titantron at a certain point.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that you could tell that they gave him, you know, a script to go by and say, hey, you know, say these are the points you want to hit. I don't know if he said it word for word, but I'm almost certain he got bullet points because he went out there and mentioned the network and different things and whatnot, and it just cut it off and left, and that was it. He didn't interact with anyone. I thought he would have interacted with somebody, not really got into a physical confrontation, but just had somebody to bounce off of, and he didn't have anybody. Just walked out, you know, got the crowd to go crazy, said his what he wanted to say, and left.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I thought that they could have done a little bit more with that. I mean, like, my idea for where they could have gone with this, and I know that I'm starting to just kind of, like, storyline things out, but I think that that's what I like to do, and I'm kind of good at it, you know, personally. That's what I think, Vaughn, is I think that they could have done something with him and Daniel Bryan, you know? You could have had the whole situation where Kane screwed over Daniel Bryan at the Elimination Chamber. The next night on Raw, you know, you've got the setup now. It's officially Orton versus Batista for the title at WrestleMania. That's your main event. You got the Authority out there. You got Triple H and Stephanie out there, and they're making a big to-do. They get the two guys in the ring. They got the champ there, and they got Batista there, and they're kind of face-to-face, and they're whooping it all up, trying to, like, really promote this whole idea of these two guys are going to, like, finally butt heads. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you just, like, in the middle of all that, you have Hogan's music hit. You have the godfather of professional wrestling, literally. And I'm not talking about with the Ho Train. I'm talking about the legitimate godfather of professional wrestling. Walk down there with the red and yellow. The people would pop their asses off. Get in that ring, eyeing down Orton, Batista, as well as Triple H. And being the guy who created that, basically, with Vince, you know, between the two of them, they kind of did that together. And the whole idea would be that, you know, he could be that guy who's been, well, he's now the grand master. He's the master of ceremonies. He's the host for WrestleMania. There might be some power that comes with being the grand master and host of WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? Some power that you don't normally have. You know what I'm saying? And maybe his power is he could basically look at the guys and go, I don't like the way this is going down, brother. You know what I'm saying? He could really get into it a little bit, and then he could talk about how he's been sitting idly for a while, watching from afar as the WWE turns into what it is today that has gotten to him where they're at for WrestleMania 30. And there's one person that's really stuck out to him that he just keeps seeing. And by decree of being the grandmaster and host of WrestleMania, I would like to enter this individual into a three-way for the WWE World Championship title at WrestleMania, and then that's when you have Bryan come down.
Yeah,
you have him. You have him introduce Bryan, and then it's just win-win because you get Hogan Pop coming back, being the superstar good guy that everybody wants, the red and yellow. You know what I'm saying? You get to get Daniel Bryan up in there in that bad boy a little bit and work that angle somewhat, and I think everybody just comes off going, "Wow, that was awesome!" Kind of put his foot down.
I can see that possibly happening still. I mean, I don't know how many times they're gonna really have Hogan on TV before WrestleMania. I'm not sure if you want to really give that away too many times before the show. But you know, it could happen still up in, you know, it could happen the night of the show. It doesn't have to happen on a Raw. It could happen at WrestleMania itself. But I can definitely see where you're coming from with that whole angle. You know, because, you know, technically when The Rock hosted WrestleMania, he had some sway where he, I think, restarted that match between Cena and The Miz.
Right.
That match ended, I think, in countout at first. And
yeah,
then
something like
he
that.
Restarted
yeah.
it. Yep, so.
Exactly. And that's my whole thing. So I'm kind of excited to see this. Where are you at with Batista versus Randy for the title? Like, where do you stand on that, man?
That match has absolutely zero heat right now. As it stands today, I don't know how much you could even put into that match as far as heat. I mean, Batista is getting booed out. He's all of a sudden the number one heel in WWE, and it's really no fault of his own.
Oh, well, here's the funny thing is he walked away being the number one heel a few years ago, you know, with
true.
The whole spotlight situation. In fact, Dan Walsh, who's on the queue, as one of the cast members on the queue, he explained to me that he really thought, and I thought this was a genius idea, like the minute they heard them booing at Royal Rumble, the next night on Raw, whatever plans they had, scrap them. Spotlight yep. him and make him walk spotlighted to the ring the same way he used to. And that's what they kind of did when he came out this past week on Raw.
And I think he went full-blown, not only full, I guess you could say full-blown heel on SmackDown, too. And he cut a promo and pretty much said, deal with it, as he's been saying all the last couple of weeks. But then you have Orton on the other side. I think Orton is as talented as any wrestler in the world. But
he's just got no charisma when it comes to the character in this storyline.
That, and plus, as a heel, they haven't done him any favors as a heel. Nobody wants to see him as a babyface in this storyline. He would be, I guess, the de facto babyface because Batista has so much heat.
Right, that's the problem. Yeah, the heat on Batista is so much greater naturally, whereas Orton really fits well into that category. He can't. Like, he's got to out-heel a really popular heel right now, and it's just not coming off as clean as it should have.
And he's as a babyface, he could be a bad babyface. It's just a, kind of a mess, and it's kind of confusing, and it's going to be potentially 80,000 people in New Orleans just going crazy booing that match. You know, you think that, you know, they've hijacked matches before. Well, it's definitely going to happen for that match. If it stands as a one-on-one match, and I don't see what WWE can do in the next 5 weeks leading up to that show to turn people around in that. I don't think they can.
I think
do
there's only one thing that they could do. Literally, let's just assume that CM Punk's contract situation is legit, right? He requests that he wants to be in the main event at WrestleMania. You got Daniel Bryan on the other side who kind of deserves to be in the WrestleMania main event as much heat as he's got going for the good side. So when I look at it, I say we do a four-way swing. A four-way swing for that title at WrestleMania.
I can see that, but I mean, the last time we had a four-way was at WrestleMania 16. That didn't come off too well. I'm not keen on multi-man matches at WrestleMania unless it makes...
Unless it's Money
sense.
In the Bank.
What was that?
Unless it's Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I mean, not just multi-man matches in general. I'm talking like at WrestleMania. I think for the title, it should usually come down to a one-on-one match. I know that, you know,
you're
they
a
have triple threat matches in the past.
You're a purist. You like the pure aspect of it.
Mainly for WrestleMania. I think you can have those matches at other events. But for WrestleMania, if you know, for the story purposes, the best stories are usually with two guys in the ring, not with three or four.
Fair enough.
But they've had them in the past, but you don't really remember those triple threat matches. You know, the one triple threat match we all liked, they'll probably never show again on WWE television because one person in particular was in that match.
Well, that's not true, though. They have stuff up on the network with Benoit in it,
yeah.
And they haven't blocked him out or, like, taken the shows down or anything like that. So there's a good chance that I bet you right now if you went and looked, that WrestleMania is up on the network and you could watch it. And you could watch it with Benoit wrestling. So, like, I think that they've softened their stance. Like everybody – I think that everybody is just under the agreement that, yes, Benoit was a bad guy for doing what he did. Obviously, that's ridiculous and that's just, like, unforgivable. But at the same point, like, that wasn't – like the fault of like the fans, and that wasn't the fault of the WWE as a whole.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I
like,
was just saying more of an aspect of like television and like not just network, but like actual television, like Raw, SmackDown, and promoting that. Like, remember this match, people? This was a triple threat match back in, you know, now it's actually 10 years ago now. So that's what I'm talking about as far as promoting it. Of course, it's on the network and they can't erase history, even if they tried, but they can't quite erase history. But they're not going to just, you know, put it out there. That was the best triple threat match I've seen, at least in WWE.
Yeah. Well, we have that. And now the other story that has kind of been interesting is TNA decided to go and pick up the American Wolves really quickly, kind of out of nowhere. And within a few weeks, the American Wolves have become the TNA World Tag Team Champions, which is kind of a fast turnaround. What do you think about those guys, Davey Richards as well as Eddie?
I think those guys are very talented. They're very good in the ring. They could use probably more work as far as their mic work maybe or their character. They only have a character per se. They're just who they are. But I think for what they are, they're very good at it though. And that they're like, you know, the real, like Hitman and TNA, you know, they're the Wolves, and they, you know.
Well, now picking up the Wolves, that's a nice little move for those guys, as well as they've made some other changes to their roster. My question is where is TNA at as a company in your head? As a professional wrestling fan first, and then as a journalist, where do you look at TNA? Because me as a journalist and a media professional, I look at TNA as, yeah, they are probably tied with ROH at this point for the number two company. And the truth is ROH probably draws more per show. Honestly, I mean, yeah, overseas, some of those shows like that, TNA is going to do pretty well in, and that's great and all. But here in the United States, like, TNA almost kind of has to drop to that smaller venue status. They keep trying to get these big venues that can hold 10,000 people. They're roping off almost 8,000 seats to 9,000 seats just to, like, put the show on.
Yeah, I mean, the TNA, here's the advantages TNA has over Ring of Honor. They have some more financial backing.
They have a stronger television presence.
Stronger television, better production. And I think they have, as far as from the individual wrestlers, they have more experience in locker room, excuse me, from a wrestling standpoint, with you have guys who have wrestled for 10, 12 years.
Oh, exactly.
And then Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, those types of guys who know how to work in a match, not just do moves, but know how to work. You know, I don't know if people really understand the difference between working and just going out there and doing some high flying moves. They have guys who know how to actually work in the ring. Ring of Honor, on the other hand, they have exciting matches. They have a good business model. They don't really get too hot for their own britches as far as business wise. They have good storylines, good booking. They make sense. They have, you know, great wrestlers again, and they got great promos. They just need to up certain areas as far as their financial backing, which I don't know what they would do to be able to change that. And of course their production, they need to up their production to look like a bigger company. That's important, people. You look like a big company, people accept you as a big company.
Now they recently had a big blow over at TNA where they lost AJ Styles, and AJ has since decided that he's going to make a move to working more ROH stuff as well as indie dates. And obviously he's probably not worried about the money at this point. That's not where he's at in his career. So what do you think about an AJ Styles ROH run, the way that they're kind of talking it up and moving on it?
I think it's good for them just from a name standpoint. And, you know, he brings the pedigree from being on national television, and he brings that Ring of Honor pedigree too. It's not like he's never been in Ring of Honor before.
True.
He's there, you know, 8-9 years ago. So from a name standpoint, it's great. From an in-ring standpoint, AJ Styles can still go as good as anybody in the world. I just saw him, was it last weekend, at the TV taping they've had here in Philly. Him and Michael Elgin went like 35 minutes, went to a television time limit draw, and it was a great match. And the way they built the match throughout the night was great. And so from that standpoint, it's great. I mean, I don't see what they could really, you know.
Now, being out there,
how could we hurt them?
Being up there in Philly, and by the way, we're talking to Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com, the professional wrestling critic. Could we call you a critic or just a journalist? The pro wrestling journalist.
Let's go journalist.
The professional wrestling journalist for Philly.com. And you can check him out every single week at Philly.com. Just go search up Vaughn Johnson, and that's where you can catch him. Where can they catch you on Twitter, by the way?
That's at Vaughn M. Johnson.
All right, Vaughn M. Johnson, V-A-U-G-H-N for Vaughn.
Right.
So what do you think of Michael Elgin, actually? You brought up Michael Elgin a second ago. It's been making a lot of name for himself over the last few months. He's kind of been just kind of getting out there a little bit more. What do you think of a Michael Elgin?
I think he's great in the ring. And maybe, you know, again, from a character and promo standpoint, may have to, you know, improve that area a little bit. But maybe he doesn't, because he's a big powerhouse kind of guy who has athleticism. I think he's great, though. And I think he's probably going to be the next ROH champion. That's the way he's being built.
I think that's very possible.
He's built as the next to guy to supplant Adam Cole as a champion.
And the, you know, the beauty of the situation is Michael Elgin. I see him quite often. He lives here in St. Louis now. So this is where he's based. So right. I was just with Michael Elgin this past week after he got back from the AJ Styles match, actually. So interesting stuff there. That's really, really cool. Now, is there anything on your plate you want to talk about a little bit? You know, I threw a few things out there. I want to hear what you got to say.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now. This WWE Network is taking up a lot of people's time. I want to know, did you get the network yet?
I did not get the network. I'm not. Here's, you got to understand something about me. Being a former professional wrestler, it was literally beaten into me when I was coming up in the business in the late 90s, the mid to late 90s, that people who are professional wrestlers in the ring, they don't pay attention to the shows on the air. You can be a fan, and there's nothing wrong with being a fan. You can watch your own tapes, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can even watch matches while they're going on. But, like, for some reason, I don't know what the stigma was at that time, but some of the old school wrestlers who trained me and taught me, they kind of took me out of that mentality of needing to watch or see professional wrestling. And so, like, I don't go out of my way to watch a lot of pro wrestling other than, like, Raw. Like, I watch Raw every single week, and beyond that, I really don't pay attention to pro wrestling. It's not that I don't pay attention to the news and the stories and what's going on and all that, but I just don't watch the shows. That's, like, literally 2 hours of time that I have to, like, spend to watch that show. If I have other things that I can work on while I'm watching the show, so be it. But if it's, like, sit down and focus on this for two and a half hours, can't do it, man.
So that's the biggest thing with the WWE Network is that there's so much content available to you, you'll never have enough time to actually really fully enjoy it. I mean, this is probably my third sitting and viewing of the network, and it's been up for about a week now. So, I mean, I don't really have time to get to it. And
what are you watching?
So much stuff.
What are you watching right now?
I am going through WrestleMania 1 right now. I'm got on the horizon for people who want to read some stuff on my blog on the Squared Circle at Philly.com. I am going through every WrestleMania and having some observations about, you know, every WrestleMania from 1 to 29.
That's awesome.
Leading up to the show.
Now, see,
we can do that now because we have WWE Network.
Now, see, that's something that I'll never probably go back and watch WrestleMania 1. And the reason is because I saw it live via closed-circuit television.
That's
when
awesome.
I let's see here, that was 84 or was that 85?
85.
I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old at my uncle's house watching. It was basically back then what closed circuit television was certain companies had the rights to show certain things. You could buy into a package along with a bunch of other people. Like back then, a cable company would carry something that was closed circuit. If they had enough people that were willing to buy into the package that they could afford it, then they would spread it out to them. It wasn't like they just offered pay-per-views like we do now, and then you could either get it or not. It was literally everyone had to come together first, then they had to have enough demand, then they would get the closed circuit. Well, St. Louis had enough people that wanted to do the closed circuit demand, so Sencom Cable or Sun Cable, I can't remember back then, my uncle got it. And I got to watch it with my uncle, God rest his soul, at his house that he had just moved into earlier that year, the last year. And yeah, it was great, man. But that's a memory that I have of physically watching WrestleMania 1 live the first time around. It was really cool for me.
See, I wasn't born until 89, so I didn't get the chance to watch any of those WrestleManias live. The first WrestleMania I watched live, and I probably could have seen one or two before this, but the first WrestleMania I watched live was WrestleMania 17.
Oh, was that Shawn Michaels versus was that Mike Tyson?
No, that was 14. This was in the Astrodome where The Rock Austin too.
Oh, okay. I always get lost on what numbers, which ones. You said the Mike Tyson one was what, 14?
Yep.
14 or 15? I thought it was later on in the. I mean, we're at 30 now.
Yeah,
so if you I'm thinking 1998 is when that happened.
Yeah, it was, but it was WrestleMania 14 in Boston. WrestleMania 15 was next year in Philly, actually.
Well, let's see. Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, because if it starts in 85, 13 years from then would be like 98. There you go. Wow. Things just like my mind. I'm getting old now, Vaughn. That's all there is to it. I'm getting old. What else you got on your plate?
Just working. Just got finished doing some stuff for Ring of Honor last weekend. Had a good time out there.
Do you do a lot of Ring of Honor shows living up in Philly?
I try to get to as many as I can. They don't run Philly all that often. Last time they were here was September, And then they came back for the 12th anniversary weekend. So I actually got to go last weekend to the shows, doing some stuff with WWE, doing Black History Month series, and now I'm doing a WrestleMania series, and just living the dream, man. Just getting a lot of work done.
All right, fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Vaughn Johnson for jumping on with me to talk to you guys on this Q Overtime special for professional wrestling. We'll have to do this again, Vaughn.
I'm down whenever you need me, man.
I appreciate it, man. That's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, for me. Vaughn, go ahead and tell everybody where they can listen to you, check you out, talk to you if they need to.
Well, you can hit me on Twitter at Vaughn M. Johnson. For some reason, Vaughn Johnson wasn't available, so Vaughn M. Johnson, at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. You can email me at vjohnson@philly.com. And you can read the blog on philly.com. Just type in the search box, the squared circle, and it should come right up, or type my name or whatever you have to do. Go to philly.com first. So that's a great website to go to. That's the people who pay me. And that's where you can find me at.
All right, fair enough, ladies and gentlemen. Also, if you want to check out anything with The Q, go to theqnow.com, old episodes, new episodes, as well as our Twitters and all of our social media links and all that good stuff are right there, as well as an old episode that we had with Vaughn Johnson just a little while ago. You were on the main show with us on The Q discussing professional wrestling, were you not, sir?
Yes, I was.
All right, well then, Vaughn Johnson, thank you so much, sir. We will talk to you next time on The Q.
All right.